Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Toby, that one's for you.
Let's go. Cody Rhodes is back. He is back home.
Who?
Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare.
Some may know him as Dusty Rhodes' son.
Some may also know him as Stardust.
Some may know him as the second generation loser.
Welcome to the Sports Hour Podcast, where we talk about WWE with two people that actually care.
Hey. WWE is great, man. WrestleMania was awesome. Enjoyed every second I watched of it this past weekend. Didn't get a chance to really watch the Final Four. Didn't really watch the National Championship game because Monday Night Raw was on. But WWE was pretty great this week.
This man, even after Raw was over, we're in the last 4 minutes of the National Championship. He's over there scrolling on TikTok while the National Championship's ending.
Yeah, man. I had to keep my mind focused on professional wrestling.
Wrestling is a fake sport, by the way, to our listeners.
It is a scripted sport unless
Olivia Dunn's TikTok is linked to professional wrestling, then your mind wasn't on wrestling when you got done watching Monday Night Raw.
Make that respectfully.
Yeah, we're bleeping that. We're bleeping that. Gosh. Yeah, it's too late. It's 11:35. We're recording this. Oh, Toby, this has got to go up tomorrow. Come on, bro. Okay. But anyway, we've bantered for about 2 minutes. Let's get into the national championship, speaking of. And
wait, before we do that, I got to ask you a question. Have you acknowledged your tribal chief today?
No, I'm not.
Okay. You didn't acknowledge him.
Hashtag not my tribal chief.
He's my tribal chief.
Either way, national championship, North Carolina and Kansas. What a fantastic ball game that ended up being.
It was a great game. North Carolina controlled most of the first half and pretty much looked like they were going to run away with it. But Kansas, like they have all year, fought back and proved they're the best team in the country.
I believe it was the largest comeback win in a national championship game in history.
It was, yeah.
Two All-Americans on the team. They had Abaji and McCormick, and we saw them Saturday night. They're legit. I mean, they usually sometimes guys that creep onto the All-American list that shouldn't be there. But Abaji, when I saw him play Villanova Saturday night, he was legit. And he's a true All-American.
I saw a meme on Twitter after the game, and it said pictures taken moments before disaster, and it had UNC this season was 21-0 when leading at the half. Mm. And then they sold big time.
In the biggest game of the year.
The biggest game. The time that they had to rise up, they played, from what you guys were telling me, they played really well the first half, second half.
Had a 16-point lead.
Yeah. And they just kind of, from what it seems like, they just kind of laid down.
And something that Peyton picked up during the game that I really didn't see during the game itself, and I also saw on Twitter after the game, Armando Bacot, when he had his apparent leg injury, he hit the floor and a piece of the floor buckled underneath him.
Yes,
it did. So, I don't know. Is that a floor engineering issue? Is that footwear issue? Is that a weight issue? I'm not sure. But it's just sad to see a guy go down in such a key moment. There's under 40 seconds left, and a guy that was a first-team All-ACC guy, a plus-20 rebound guy, a guy that gets a lot of points for North Carolina. It's sad to see that happen.
The Mississippi Coliseum would have never let that happen.
That's facts.
Can I just say real quick, though, the few seconds I did watch was the last – about 15, 20 seconds up. UNC had the ball with 9 seconds to go, and he just takes a deep three for no reason.
Toby, no. Toby, when you say the part I watched the last 15, 20 seconds, your opinion is completely invalidated.
Hey, I watched where it counted, where they had a three.
If there's anybody on that floor I was letting that, if they take that shot with the game on the line, I'm like, you know what? Sucks he didn't make it. It was Caleb Love.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's made that shot all tournament.
If North Carolina would have won, he was the most outstanding player of that game. Oh. Abaji won it because he was Kansas' best player. If North Carolina won, it would have been Caleb Love.
But I'm not upset about the shot, but I think he took it too early.
Well, you take it early so you can offensive rebound and take another one.
And then turned the ball over and threw it out of bounds, which cost him the game.
You just pointed out the point, though.
Which, you know, Bacot, going back to Bacot, the injury so pivotal in how it happened. Because, like you said, Abaji and McCormick, in the second half especially, they were just dominating North Carolina on the inside. Manic couldn't do anything defensively against McCormick, and that's really what they targeted in the last 2 minutes of the game, you called it every possession on the floor. You said, all right, here goes McCormick hook shot, you know, on Manning. And that's what happened last three possessions down the floor for Kansas.
What happened was Armando Bacot was guarding McCormick. And McCormick is, of course, an All-American player. Armando Bacot gets hurt, buckles his knee on the floor, down one, turnover. They take it down the court. Then Brady Manick then has to guard McCormick. McCormick goes down, takes advantage of that matchup, scores, goes up three, and it's over at that point.
I was very impressed by McCormick. I will be real with you. That's the first extended action I've seen of McCormick this year, and he really impressed me. I mean, the dude's just incredibly talented.
I remember when we watched him play Villanova.
Is he a freshman?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you. But when I was at Northeast, Coach Wright would always say, teams are going to shoot their average. At a halftime, we go into halftime, and somebody's shooting 50, 60% from the field, shooting 50% from three. He said, they're going to shoot their average. I'm sorry, Coach Wright, but Kansas didn't shoot their average.
No.
They shot 66%
Remy from three
in the first half.
One.
In the first half. They finished the game shooting 50% from three and 50% from the field.
Off the bench, Remy Martin adds 14.
Yeah.
And we talked about, 12 of it came in the last 8 minutes of the game where Martin could just not miss from the outside.
And Villanova came into that game, of course, down Justin Moore, a guy that averages 14 points and 5 rebounds a game. And the other team who has two All-Americans that doesn't miss a shot, you're not going to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's really no shot for them. And I mean, even the people that were from Villanova that were sitting in front of us at the game, they're like, there's nothing we can do.
No, yeah. You know, it's funny because North Carolina the whole tournament had been that team that just – when they needed a big shot, they delivered. You know, whether it was against Duke or whether it was against Arizona or Houston, you know, whoever was in their path, North Carolina just continued to make shot after shot when they needed to. But then, on Monday night, it was Kansas. It was like the roles in the second half completely flipped. North Carolina continued to inch it back closer and closer, but they could never break through after they lost the lead in the second half. And on the other hand, every time North Carolina continued to get it close, Kansas would hit that big shot when they needed it.
It's crazy. I think I told you this, Peyton, yesterday when we were talking about it, but Armando Bacot went down against Duke Saturday night, and he was hurt, and he said, this is probably going to be a game-ending, probably season-ending injury for me. And he was laying there on the ground, and he said, I'm playing in the greatest college basketball game of all time. I need to go back into the game. So he popped back up and went back into the game. And, of course, the next – or two nights later on Monday night, he goes and buckles his knee on a piece of flooring that just buckled underneath him. I mean, it's just sad to see.
You hate to see that for a dude that literally in his press conference after, when they asked him about his status for the national championship game, he said, you'd have to cut my foot off for me not playing
this game.
Exactly.
And that's what's so cool for me to watch college sports other than pro sports is, like, I mean, we're Lakers fans. We talk about LeBron. LeBron didn't play tonight, two games back, when we needed to win tonight.
Season on the line.
Because, I mean, he's making $170 million. He gets to play again. Basketball is really, in all honesty, not very important to him right now. But Armando Bacot, like you said, he cut off his foot to play. That's why I love college sports. I love college basketball, baseball, football, any sport that you can put a college player into. It means so much more to him than any pro sport.
The passion is unlike any other.
Right.
But, you know, looking at it, and I don't want to skip too far into next year, but, you know, because it's kind of like the way too early top 25 in college football, but after watching the tournament, is there anybody that really sticks out to you as a team to watch next year in terms of this team can make a run through the tournament next year?
At basketball?
Yes.
I mean, of course, all four teams that were in the Final Four are going to be there again next year. Shire, he's going to be the next head coach at Duke next year, the assistant that was there this year. But I heard some big news as well today. Jay Williams, a former player of Coach K, said that it is on the table. I mean, I don't know how legitimate this is, but it's on the table that Coach K could return next year as coach. So, after his farewell tour of this year.
That man was set in stone until losing to North Carolina Final Four. He's like, all right, the Jordan press release, I'm back.
I don't think he'll come back.
No.
I think after the greatness that was this season, and like not necessarily because the ending didn't how they wanted it to end, but just kind of the glory, the riding off, the setting off in the sunset, like every good Western movie, it's time for it to hang it up.
You know, when I look at it, you know, I saw, not to piggyback on ESPN, but I saw it and was really impressed with them, obviously, in their run to the Elite Eight. And then you realize, I looked through it, and I didn't realize this team was bringing in the second-rated high school class in the country this year, Arkansas. Arkansas brings in the number two high school recruiting class after back-to-back trips to the Elite Eight. that's just unbelievable to me. You know, Musselman, we knew he was a top coach. We knew that he's potentially up there with in contention for top coach in the SEC. But to bring back possibly what you brought back from this year, the experience, as well as adding so many dynamic players next year, that's just a team that you look at right now. And Corey is over there dancing somewhere right now back in West Union. But Arkansas, to me, really does stick out as a team to watch next year.
Kentucky will be back next year. Arkansas will be back next year. The SEC will be good again. I'm just eager to see how Ole Miss is going to be next year as well. I mean, of course, we really didn't show much this year. We sort of down here. We had a lot of injuries and such. But I saw Austin Crowley today, went to Southern Miss. We've had other five or six players also opt out to go to different programs next year. Also, I've seen that we've had two assistant coaches leave as well. One's gone to NC State and one's gone to LSU. So it's going to be a lot of new faces next year on the bench as well as on the court. So I'm sort of eager to see how we bounce back next year.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing because Ole Miss basketball needed a restart. They did. I mean, it's good. I mean, best of luck to those guys, but we need some new faces in the Ole Miss.
Could be worse, but could be LSU.
Yes, good.
You could be coachless. You could be having over 7 or 8 NCAA violations just for basketball. And you don't have any commits for the next 2 or 3 years.
I'm ready to see how Kermit Cumber bounces back, definitely in recruiting, coming off this season. Is he going to kind of rise up? Are we going to get some guys that we know?
Well, I mean, we have a top 100. We have four top 100 players coming out of high school.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Kermit's overall his best recruiting class at Ole Miss.
I think though, with coming back to that, you're going to have a really young team. How can Coach Davis look at it and build this team up to say, we may be young, but can we play and compete in an SEC schedule that has just gotten tougher just this year and even next year?
A veteran big man is the place to start.
You foreshadowing to the weeks to come, man. We're probably going to have a 5-star former Duke player on our podcast. Stay tuned for that.
I can't wait for that. I think really when it comes to center, I think Ole Miss really, we need to look for a guy who's whatever really team he played for, somebody with some experience. Somebody could come in and at least give us some rebounds.
No doubt about it.
Because Ole Miss, wasn't that probably our biggest problem, you'd say, is that with the SEC and how big they were, Ole Miss is probably the smallest of teams. But we didn't really have that in-factor guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, Deshaun had began to really hit that stride and kind of become that guy. But then he tears his ACL at LSU. But before that, he had a stretch where, he was going to be in decently serious contention for, an SEC. He had won Freshman of the week prior. I mean, he was going to make a push to be on the SEC all-freshman team.
Right.
So he is coming back, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He'll be back.
He'll be back for sure.
With everybody transferring out, I just hope it doesn't soften the program. I hope everybody kind of keeps their spirits up leading into next year because, like you said, this is going to be a talented Ole Miss team. Can we come back and play and try to be a mid-tier team?
I think what you have to look at is these transfers. Not to say that Austin Crowley and Luis Rodriguez didn't do good things at Ole Miss, didn't have good games, but all these guys, they never quite hit the potential that I'm assuming Coach Davis and also the Rebel faithful had, and the potential that we thought they had. Not to say they were bad by any means, but they never quite rose to the level that we wish they would have.
Past couple weeks, we've been sprinkling in a hot or valid. I'm going to start it off. Hot or valid. Ole Miss, if they do not compete to be a mid-tier SEC team with a winning schedule, Kermit Davis is on the hot seat next year.
I know we've jumped down a rabbit hole here, and I know you said – we started at the Final Four, now we worked our way down to Ole Miss basketball. And we're far, 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 far away from being a Final Four basketball team. But I feel like Kermit Davis would tell you this right now, and I feel like a lot of people in the program would tell you this. We're not fighting to be a mid-tier team. A mid-tier team gets you fired. At any SEC elite program, you're going to get fired for your mid-tier program. We're fighting to be an SEC championship team. This year, you don't fight for mid-tier. You don't fight for third. You don't fight for second. You fight for first place in the SEC. Mm-hmm. So if we're not aiming to do that this year, if we're not aiming to do that with our recruiting class, we're not aiming to do that with the players that we have now, if our coaching staff's not doing that, you need to leave. That's my point of view right now.
What I was going to say, Toby, this is not me just picking at you, mate, roasting. This is just me being genuinely honest. I don't think that's even a question whether it was hot or valid because, looking for one, Kermit Davis was given the dreaded vote of confidence by Keith Carter. You get the dreaded vote of confidence where you have to release a press release on the future of your program. Yeah. That means win next year or you're in trouble.
Because the bottom five coaches in the SEC were fine this year, other than Ole Miss's coach.
I will say this, hot or valid, extend a little bit further.
Scorching.
Nothing saves Kermit Davis next year if he doesn't go to the tournament.
Mm-hmm. He's got to make the tournament or he's gone.
Either the tournament or being a one seed in the NIT and winning the whole dang thing. That's the only thing. And I don't want to settle for the NIT, but it's hard to fire a coach if he's the first four out and then he goes and wins the NIT. That's the only reason I had that precursor.
So the way I think about it, like basketball, I'm not a big basketball fan, but like when AK was here, like it was fun to watch. We might not have been close to watching or making the tournament, but it was fun to watch. I'm not saying this isn't fun to watch, but I like points. And points don't necessarily win you games. It's stopping the other team, too, and he's more defensive-minded, in my opinion.
Like I've said all year, I love holding teams to 50 points, but when you score 45, you still lose the game.
How is modern sports played? Have we watched the modern NFL lately? Now, of course, this is a different sport, but this is the way that sports is going. We've got Cliff Kingsbury for the Arizona Cardinals. We've got Sean McVay with the Rams. Okay, we have Musselman at Arkansas, the head men's basketball coach there. We also have Nate Oates at Alabama, a young offensive-minded coach. We're going backwards. I mean, Andy Kennedy was the guy that was forward and thinking. He was the guy that was forward. We're going to score points. We're going to get up and down. And maybe we may not have as much discipline on the defensive end, but we scored points. We were fun. We won SEC championships, okay? We can all agree on that. I think the point that Keith Carter tried to make with hiring Kermit Davis is we're going to be disciplined, we're going to play defense, and we're not going to have any off-the-floor issues. Okay. Are we going to win basketball games? That's what people were saying now. And Garrett doesn't agree with this, but we can all say this. We have one of the nicest facilities in the SEC, I feel like, with the pavilion.
Garrett downplays the pavilion.
The pavilion is so nice, and we have the resources. We've seen the jerseys. We've seen all these new things that they've gotten. It's time to produce on the floor. It's time for us to put guys on the floor, fill seats in the pavilion, because, heck, we hadn't had a good team since – when was it? What's the guy's name that plays for the Kings now?
Terrence Davis.
We haven't had a team since Terrence Davis and those guys that really competed, put on a good show for the Ole Miss Rebels faithful. It's just sad to see what has become of our –
when Ole Miss broke ground the pavilion, that was a statement – to not only Ole Miss fans, but to basically the SEC and
yeah, we're here to stay.
We're not settling for mediocre. But we expect to be a winning basketball.
And what's sad is our athletic director Keith Carter played basketball at Ole Miss, so you would think that at the forefront of his mind, of course, we're a Southern SEC school. We're gonna put baseball and football at the forefront. But with Keith Carter at the helm of our athletics, we've got to compete in basketball.
It's almost like in sports at the university, basketball has been put on the back burner. Like, wouldn't that make sense? That in everything that we're doing right now, basketball is the least thought of sport on campus.
Because they don't win.
You're talking about the big three.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I mean, really, in most of our sports, I think you hear more about how our softball team's doing than how our basketball team did this year.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
But, like, we can talk about popularity on campus. Let's talk about Alabama. Their coach before. Does anybody know the coach? Avery Johnson, okay. When he was head coach at Alabama, did you really hear about Alabama's basketball team? Like, was there any noise done about
Yes and no. When they had Colin Sexton, yes. But besides that, Johnson had them. He had some good years, but he also had down years. Okay, but he did not hear them at the level you've heard them with Nate Oates.
Yeah, Nate Oates. They won the SEC tournament last year. You have Musselman that comes in Arkansas. Did you really hear about Arkansas before he came in? Not really. Head coaches can change entire programs. And then people say that they don't. They're lying to themselves because head coaches can change entire programs.
Names matter in college sports.
No, not names necessarily. Because did you know who Nate Oates was for his Alabama?
Culture.
Okay, I like that segment a little bit more.
So.
And then the Ole Miss culture with basketball is just—it's been so down the past 3 years.
They're not fun to watch.
His first year when Kermit, which I talked some things about Kermit, but at the end of the day, his first year was really good. And then the past two, three seasons has not been fun to watch. I went to a game and watched it, and I was bored out of my mind. And that was a good game.
No, you're right. But
well, I think we're knocking them too much right now. Like, what did his AK's last year had the same players and just about as Kermit Davis' first year. What did AK do? Not much. Kermit's first year brought him in, made an all right run for Ole Miss basketball in the tournament.
And that just shows you how good of a recruiter Eddie Kennedy was.
Well, maybe so, but like when you go by stars and rankings, Kermit's a
better
recruiter.
Eddie Kennedy was the type of guy that he got dudes that could play.
Kermit
got shooters, and if the shooters got hot, it's hard to beat.
Kermit is a better recruiter. I'm not going to get into it because this is a podcast. This is an entire episode in itself. I could go for an entire episode as to why. And I was a huge Kermit Davis supporter pretty much all the way up till this year. And I could go in looking back at the 2018 team that made the NCAA tournament in his first year. I could go back and tell you why that was a product of Andy Kennedy, what he had set up for Kermit, rather than what Kermit did. And not to say that Kermit doesn't deserve a little bit of credit for taking that team to the tournament, but I could go back just off the record in the SEC alone after non-conference play ended. Basically, to sum it up quickly, Ole Miss made the tournament because they played an easy non-conference schedule in which they went like 19-2.
Yeah. And even when you think that, you know, those 16, 17, 18 seasons, was the SEC really as dominant as it is now?
No.
It wasn't.
It was
down competition.
It was close.
We were a top four, top five program in 2018, 17, 16.
Yeah,
we got all the talent.
That's not ridiculous. That's not ridiculous to say that.
It's just there's no enjoyment to me, and there's no excitement. I don't like really. We could have the number one recruiting class, and from what I've seen this past year and the year prior, there's no excitement to me about Ole Miss basketball.
No, it is sad to see. But let's move from one Ole Miss sport and one sport to another Ole Miss program and another sport in Ole Miss baseball, and you know. We're recording this on Tuesday, so we're not recording right after Ole Miss took the series from Kentucky. We're sadly recording right after a tough loss in Pearl against Southern Miss. Chuck, did you travel to Lexington?
I did not.
You did not? Well, you know, I'll let you because it's a win. You know, you get to talk about the Rebels. Good. Talk about kind of what you saw because I mean you're seeing these guys after the Tennessee series. There's you know. It's not a outrageous statement to say there was a doubt in a lot of people's mind about this team. So, you know, not to say that you had doubts, but what did you see out of this Ole Miss team and how they responded to that?
Just to bounce back, you know. They got kicked in the gut against Tennessee. But, you know, that's over. Like, they came back, they bounced back. It's over, can't do nothing about it. And they handled business that weekend, last weekend. That's all they can do, and that's all they did, and they went out and did it. All the naysayers and stuff on Twitter – tweeting at them, underneath them, doubting them and everything after every single game. They let it go in one ear, one out the other, probably don't even look at it. And they just come in and play baseball every single day, and it's amazing to watch.
What I took from it, you know, what I think, Grady, you were the main one saying it last week, that you wanted to see some dog in the Ole Miss Rebels. And I said that traditionally, and this is not an indictment on Bianco, I said traditionally that Bianco's Ole Miss team, especially in the past couple of years, if they're not leading after six innings, they usually don't win the baseball game. Yeah, but this weekend, whether they were up in a close ball game or whether they were down at points, the Ole Miss showed a little bit of dog in this weekend, especially game one, where it's tied 1-1, and you know, in the ninth, the top of the ninth, it was Leatherwood that had the huge what ended up being the game winning RBI. And then Brandon Johnson slammed the door shut. You know, DeLucia pitched very well, which was extremely important to his confidence after the controversy about what he said last week, you know, that got so many people upset at him. It was huge for him. I was extremely impressed. Really, he was one of the most impressive players in the series because of that. It could have been so easy to, you know, for that to have been in his mind, but it making his first SEC start. But the dude comes out and throws a gem through six innings.
Chuck, I just want to quickly ask real quick, what was Coach's response to that game in Tennessee? And what did he tell the player?
You can't give any information? I don't know if I can or can't, but I'm not.
Not. But was it, in your opinion, was it like more motivational or was he...
I'm not going to get into it.
Chuck, I'm not going to. So quit asking.
I know we've said this a lot, too, with Ole Miss this year. I feel like we say it going into every weekend series, but I'm really looking forward to this upcoming weekend series against Alabama. After the game today, of course, it's a midweek game. It's against an in-state rival as well with Southern Miss. And they pull off a late game. Was it late? A 7th, 8th inning home run to pull ahead and win at the end. This weekend is going to be interesting again to see the rotation that, that is brought out by Coach Bianco, and it's also going to be interesting to see how we bounce back from.
I'd be very shocked, and you know, Chuck may say, I'm not going to ask him to say it, obviously, but I would be very interested if after making such a huge change to the rotation, not returning any of the three starters from a week prior, after winning the series, and all three guys pitched pretty good in the starting rotation, I'd be very surprised if he didn't run it back at home against Alabama.
I agree.
I would be very surprised if you see anything other than DeLucia on Friday, Elliott on Saturday, and on Sunday. Gosh, I went blank. Remind me who pitched on Sunday. Was it Washburn?
Yes, it was Washburn.
I think this weekend, real quick, is just going to kind of do the tell of the tape of how deep this team is and how good they can rise up at Swayze Field.
It's cool to see Washburn take a weekend role. I mean, I remember talking a little bit about that, but I didn't think he was really going to give him a chance because, I mean, we didn't know. We didn't know how much of the dice would really roll last Monday night was when we recorded. We didn't really know. We had said it would be a pretty good idea to probably shuffle it up a little bit. He didn't just shuffle it. He did a whole
deck. Well, you know, when he was slated to pitch against Memphis in the midweek last week, I was like, okay, well, Washburn's not going to start this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, that game doesn't end up getting played. But, I mean, regardless, I wonder if that ended up – you know, that was Bianco's plan all along, was to pitch him for a few innings on Tuesday and run him back on Sunday.
You sure there's some confidence there, then?
Well, yeah, there is. But also, I think Chuck would agree. I mean – You just got to have confidence in your guy to the point anyway. I mean, it's SEC play. It's not the time anymore where, I mean, you know, Bianco had to take a risk and gamble on, you know, changing the pitching rotation completely, and it worked out in his favor. Credit Mike Bianco for that. But at that point, it's almost, you know, I don't want to say you're not thinking about it, but you're almost saying, look, you know, we got to change some stuff up. I got faith in every one of these guys. They're going to go out and they're going to shove on the weekend.
You know, every game is
– it don't matter who you throw out there.
It's 27 outs.
If you recruited that guy, then you have confidence whether you're pitching a Tuesday against Alcorn State or on Sunday against Tennessee, you send him out with the expectation he's going to shove and get you a win.
Mm-hmm. I'm just glad they proved me wrong this weekend, man. There was some fight.
I picked Kentucky to win that series, but it was good to see Ole Miss go on the road and take an SEC series against Kentucky.
I picked the Rebs in a sweep, and
I think they said this is the first time since 2010 Ole Miss has won its first two road series in SEC play.
Well, yeah, and that's really impressive because winning on the road in the SEC is hard to do in baseball. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if you're playing, you know, the SEC school for the deaf, blind, and dumb. It's hard to go on the road and win in college baseball, especially in the SEC.
Imagine Tennessee going and taking a series, sweeping Tennessee and then sweeping – or not Tennessee. Tennessee sweeping Ole Miss and sweeping Vanderbilt in back-to-back weeks.
That Tennessee team is legit. I'm so glad.
You know, I want to bring it back up. You know, I asked last week, and Chuck wasn't here, you know, the hot or valid – Tennessee loses no more than 8 games after the SEC tournament, and everybody said, y'all thought about it, but you eventually said hi. After this weekend, I think you got to give it another thought. So I'm going to ask you again, Chuck. If you did, I'll be honest. I don't know if you listened last week, but if you didn't, the question was, after the SEC championship, hot or valid, Tennessee will have no more than 8 losses.
Well, the thing is,
because there's now 7 SEC series left in the year.
There's 10 total and 3, so yeah, it's 7 left. The thing about Tennessee, though, is their bullpen is their weakest link, and they have a guy in the bullpen throwing 102. He struggles with the command a little bit, but the thing is, if any team can get their starters out by the fourth inning, it'll be a lot different game than a lot of people expect.
Sadly, nobody's been able to do that.
No, yeah, nobody can because they have 3 guys that are aliens, but they may go 55-1. They're pretty
good. Did anybody else catch their first game of the series against Vanderbilt when they hit that first home run and was it Bandy's coach went out there and questioned the bat and it was legitimately
Corbin,
that it was?
Corbin.
Yeah, that it was. Something was wrong with the bat.
Well, and I want to clarify that because a lot of people were saying, oh, Tennessee corked their bat. We knew it. No. What it was they sent a bat out that had a sticker on it from the midweek game and they thought it was approved for that day.
Oh.
So it was not corked. I saw that and a lot of people were saying, you know, I saw a lot of Ole Miss fans saying they needed to go back and review our games because they were using court bats. They confirmed it, but they weren't using court bats.
Like bats, they get their two tests before every midweek and every weekend series: the ring test and the compression test. And each like if you came to Ole Miss, you got to have an Ole Miss sticker on the bat. And you know if somebody sticks it on pine tar, like dry pine tar, and you hit it off the handle, and then the pine tar flakes off, the sticker's on. The sticker stuck to the pine tar, not the bat. And it could come off. Like, that's what happened in Auburn and Texas A&M last weekend. I don't know if it's illegal bats. No, I don't think it is. And by the way, it's not a corked bat. You can only cork wood, but you can roll a metal bat.
Thank you.
Just clear.
Thank you, Chuck.
That was a great insight there. Thanks, Chuck.
I appreciate that. Take this middle finger and thank you.
The stunner incoming.
No, but, in all seriousness, If I'm not trying to start a conversation because I don't think obviously they're using illegal bats, because if they were using illegal bats, somebody would have called them at this point. That Tennessee lineup's just that good. Sometimes you've just got to tip your cap and say, that's a fantastic baseball team over there. I had said that because I was in Hoover back in 2019, I believe it was, the year that Vanderbilt came back after we were down 10-1, ended up winning the national championship. We were up 10-1 in the SEC championship. They came back and beat us. And I said that was the best college baseball team I've ever seen in my life. Right now, this Tennessee team, I would put them above them.
The only thing about this Tennessee team is they're playing their best baseball in March and
April. And that's very dangerous. It's very dangerous.
That's true, but they remind me a lot of last year's Arkansas team. Best team. And you want to play your best ball in May and June. I mean, it's good to win games now, but you want to play your best ball in March and April.
Do we know if this is their best ball?
I mean, that's a fair statement, but you want to play good at the right time. You don't want to get your best ball right now.
That's a scary ball.
It is.
It's funny because Tennessee, they hit a home run, I think it was Saturday, and dude ran around the bases, he picked up his bat, like looking at it, like, is this one all right? They just trolled.
Another thing about that, like, kind of tip your cap to Corbin, too. He's probably, like, talk his catchers, like, if they hit, look at their bat, make sure they got a sticker. Like, rules are rules, whether it's you think it's right or not, as a rule, you got to have the sticker to say it passed the test. And if the catcher's looking at that every time, like, that's an out he just got for his team.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It wiped a run off the board.
Yeah.
I mean, Vanderbilt couldn't capitalize on it. But, you think about it, and that could be a monumental shift in a ballgame. Mm-hmm. The thing about the Tennessee team, you kind of talking about how, fake inspected the bat after he hit the home run. This is a Tennessee team that when you watch them, they feel like they're out to prove something. Because it feels like you heard in the offseason, and pretty much last year as they were making their run to Omaha, that this was a one-hit wonder for Tennessee, that Vitello was a one-hit wonder coach. They had the run this year, but it's going to be back to the same old Tennessee baseball, not very good. And it seems like this team is just out to prove,
They play like the 2001 Miami Hurricanes in football, honestly.
It's crazy. They play like a team that has something to prove, and they play like a team that has nothing to lose. And that's a dangerous combination.
I was going to say, did anybody outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, expect this team to be as good as they are? I don't think even the people in Knoxville would have
thought they won the East.
You did?
Yeah.
So I had no idea.
I knew coming in this year that they were going to be dangerous, but I didn't think this dangerous. I was thinking Vanderbilt was going to be the best team in that division, and then Tennessee maybe third to Florida. And they're definitely proving me. And Florida's a good team, and they just fell off.
Also, I want to say I had them in my first ever rankings. I had them at 5 when we first were previewing baseball, and D1 baseball had them at 17, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing, which I know rankings don't matter, but I'm sure they looked at that and they were like, oh, you're going to say we're 17, we're going to prove them wrong. We're going to prove everybody wrong.
Speaking of rankings, now's a good time to read D1's latest baseball rankings. Tennessee at 1, 27-1. Arkansas at 2, 21-5. Virginia jumped to 3. Texas Tech is at 4. Oregon State is at 5 to round out the top 5. Oklahoma State at 6. Texas at 7. Miami at 8. Ole Miss at 9. And Texas State at 10. A couple other notables.
Texas State at 10?
Yes, Texas State. A couple of other notables. Arizona at 11. Louisville at 12. Georgia at 14. Vanderbilt at 16. Southern Miss at 18. Gonzaga at 17. LSU 19. Florida State dropped from 5 to 20. NC State at 21, and Dallas Baptist at 24.
Yeah.
So they called him. They had a rough start. But you said to stay with Dallas Baptist because they're going to be a good team to, the team to watch. We're
here the rest of the year.
Hey, what about Dallas Baptist?
You remember back in April
5th? I do remember. They were ranked.
What about Old Dominion? Are they in there?
They are not.
D1 baseball hasn't ranked them, but Baseball America's basically the one they're done.
Just a note on those rankings. The times I've seen Miami, having them at 8 is seems to me really overrated. I don't know what they've done the last couple weekends, but...
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Virginia being at 3. I think that might be a little bit
high. They've slowly crept up each time. I don't know what they've done, but I guess. But I saw Miami play Florida. I saw Miami play another weekend series, and they just...
Florida dropped out completely, yeah, by the way, which got swept by Georgia, but, you know, they did drop out completely.
I think Virginia is one of those blue blood baseball teams that you can put them there because you know they should be there. They're gonna play all year, and they can earn that number 3 spot.
Florida took 2 of 3 from Miami earlier in the year.
And Miami didn't look too good that week, and I remember watching it.
That's surprising, Florida all the way out, because, man, Florida's such a good team.
They are, but, I mean, they've been inconsistent so far this year, and, you know, they were already low. They were at, like, 19, and you get swept. I mean,
Miami swept Duke and North Carolina, both in conference play. They've got Virginia.
North Carolina is an impressive sweep.
Miami and Virginia play this week?
Yeah,
that's a big series.
Yeah.
Really big series.
If we can get ACC Network, they have tuned into that series.
Did you say SEC or ACC?
ACC.
I was about to roast you.
I've always said ACC is the second best conference of the SEC.
Now talking about series, let's go ahead and make our series picks. And Chuck, you weren't here last week, but you didn't. We made picks on your behalf. You want to read off the standings?
Yeah, so I think I'm in the lead with 18.
Yes, you had a fantastic week last week.
Grady is in second with 17. I think he is tied with Peyton.
Yes.
And then we have Toby. I can't really hardly read this.
Toby's
in fourth.
We've got Toby with 13. We've got Buzz with 9. And that's about it.
Hey, read off that basketball standings from the NCAA tournament.
Congratulations, Buzz. You beat me.
Thank you.
I can anoint you the king of basketball.
Entire universe hated Toby.
How does that affect LeBron's legacy?
Look, it's a great question.
Thing, man.
Congratulations, Buzz. Buzz is first, Toby is second, and the rest of the standings don't really matter. Now, baseball series. Kentucky and Texas A&M. Let's start there.
Where's it at?
It is at
College Station.
At College Station.
Give me A&M series win.
Give me Kentucky in the series win.
This Kentucky team's got some fight in them. Give me Kentucky to beat Texas A&M.
I'm going Kentucky also.
I am sorry, Buzz. You're going to have to stand alone. I am going with Kentucky as well.
Okay.
Georgia at South Carolina. A little bit of an East matchup.
Give me Georgia series win.
Georgia at South Carolina?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take South Carolina.
This South Carolina team's really good, but I think Georgia's just a little bit better. Give me Georgia in a series win over South Carolina.
I'm also going Georgia.
Georgia's really good, but South Carolina, they've been up and down, but they've had very impressive wins. Series win against Texas, series win against Vanderbilt. I like them to get it done at home against Georgia. I think they show up bigger this weekend. Arkansas at Florida. This is a huge bounce back opportunity for the Gators.
I think the Gators do bounce back. I think Florida will take 2 of 3 against Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
I've got Arkansas. Me and Buzz have faded each other sometimes, so I'm going Arkansas.
I think if this series was at Fayetteville, I'd call a sweep for Arkansas. But because it's in the swamp, give me the Gators to beat the Hogs.
I'm going Arkansas.
Arkansas takes the first 2. Gators avoid a sweep on Sunday.
I'm telling you, I like this Gators team, even though they're playing down.
Missouri at Tennessee. Does Tennessee get a sweep for the 4th week in a row? By the way, I believe the SEC record for best start to a season to a conference slate is 11-0. Tennessee can break that record with a sweep this weekend.
Tennessee in a sweep. Easy.
Give me Tennessee. In a sweep, please, sir. Thank you.
You know what? I'm going to go with you guys. Give me Tennessee in a sweep. They're just so good.
We should do something else with this one, like, since it's such an easy pick.
Run differential. Is the run differential more than 15?
Like plus 5.
I'm just going Tennessee, no sweep.
Ooh, No sweep?
No sweep.
He's safe picking.
Have fun on the
game. No, I think Missouri takes... I'm trying to see what pitcher they'd be.
This is two like completely different teams. You got Tennessee's at the top.
This is David and Goliath.
Over here. Yes, it's David and
Goliath. Exactly, it's baseball.
And David ain't showing up.
Wait, where's it at?
It's at Tennessee.
Nano Rocks next lane.
It's in Knoxville.
All right, Payne's not picking.
I'm fading all y'all. Missouri with the upset of the year. I'm calling it right now. I'm calling it.
Missouri
2-3.
Series win?
Yeah, series. Missouri with a series
Knoxville.
Win. Yes.
Okay.
I'm fading the ball.
This is the easiest ratio of the year.
Oh, man.
Not a sweep, obviously. A series win. But,
all right, that makes it a little more believable.
Yeah, no, I didn't think they were going to sweep them. Oh, my God.
That's Coreyism right there.
LSU at MSU. Y'all, this is a big series for both the Tigers and the Bulldogs. Really, I'm going to be overstating this a little bit, but just to be honest with you, I could see this being a case. The winner keeps their season intact. The loser, I'm not going to say they don't make the tournament because I think both these teams are still tournament bound, but I feel like the loser of the series might be on a downward spiral.
Right, no chance of hosting.
No chance of hosting by any means. State already doesn't really have a chance of hosting, but if LSU was to lose, they can kiss it goodbye.
I want to pick State really bad. I really do. It's in Starkville. But I just – they've been too inconsistent for me, so give me LSU in a series win.
LSU took 2 of 3 last week from Florida at Florida. I feel like Florida's a better team than Mississippi State this year, so I'm going to go LSU 2 out of 3 in Starkville.
I miss on a lot of statements I say. I make some pretty bad takes. Last week was the worst one when I called MSU a top 25 team again. I'm not making that mistake again. Give me the Bayou Bengals to beat Mississippi State.
You know, Mississippi State's, I think they're really hot right now, or at least they were in the midweek today against UT Martin. But I'm going to go Mississippi State for my buddy Luke Hancock down there.
Eventually, the Bulldogs are going to have to turn it around. Why not be this weekend against a hated conference rival? And also, I believe the Bulldogs have not beat LSU at the Dude in almost like 15, 20 years.
Wow. I'm looking through LSU's schedule right now. And they've gotten beat by Auburn and A&M both at home. But they beat Florida on the road. So it's odd to see an LSU team win more games on the road than at home. So I don't know what the deal is with that, but I'm staying with my pick with LSU.
I'm gonna roll with the Bulldogs, 2-3.
That's so weird to me. They lost against Auburn and A&M, two of the bottom feeders.
Not even say it because Auburn's a good team.
Vandy
they're not the top, though.
They're not the top, but they are a good team.
Vandy at Auburn.
I like this Auburn team more than a lot of people do. I'm going to say Vandy in a series win, though. Auburn gets one game, but Vandy in a series win.
I'll go Vandy in a series win, too.
I think coming off a sweep from Tennessee, Vanderbilt's going to play down. I like this Auburn team. I picked them last week. I'm going to go it again. Give me Auburn to beat Vanderbilt.
All right, I was going to go Auburn, so I know everybody's going Vandy, but I can't roll with Toby on that one. I'm going Vandy.
I like this Auburn team.
I did too.
They're good. They're good team.
Vandy will respond to a sweep with a sweep of their own. Give me the Commodores with a sweep.
So fast, my friend.
That's a good one, Peyton. I like that one. That's a good team.
Finally, Alabama at Ole Miss. And, you know, I said it last week, and obviously it's most important the Rebels got the series win. But I said the Rebs really needed a sweep, and I still think they really need a sweep. Just to get that confidence rolling, that momentum rolling. They need a sweep in SEC play. And honestly, you know, there are no really easy foes in the SEC. But if you're going to do it at home against Alabama, is that series to get a sweep?
Is that at home? Yeah. You know, I've talked down on the Ole Miss baseball team a lot the past couple weeks. Been inconsistent. But we're at Swayze. Give me Ole Miss in a sweep this weekend against Alabama.
I'm with that, too. I've got Elliott and DeLucci getting it done Friday and Saturday, and then Washburn washing it down the drain Sunday with a sweep.
That's a fantastic pun.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't want to call a sweep. I don't want to call a sweep just because I don't know if It's possible. I would like for a sweep, but I think Ole Miss is going to get a series win at Swayze. We need a bounce back. We need a bounce back win.
I'm saying our overall run differential this weekend is going to be plus 20. I thought we were going to score 20 more
points
than they scored.
I would love to.
An overall weekend.
I would love just a bomb fest the first two games. And you know, if you have a bomb fest where you score 15 runs apiece, don't matter.
All right, I went Ole Miss also.
You going series win or sweep?
Sweep.
Sweep. Okay, gotcha. Rebs in a sweep. And I am going to go Rebels, but with a series win. I'm afraid the bats. I hope this is the weekend they get really hot again. But until they do, there's too many guys in the SEC that are talented to not, you know, have a chance to steal a game. What? But I don't think this series is ever in question for Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss comes out really good on Friday and Saturday, and I could see Alabama, just because it's so hard to sweep a team in the SEC, scraping one out on Sunday.
What's the game's going to be looking like Friday, Saturday, Sunday? What's those start times, you know?
You're asking the wrong person. I don't even know what class.
The weather's going to be nice. It's going to be mid-50s to mid-70s.
It's a safe assumption, like most series in conference late. Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. It's a fair statement to say that. All right, guys, we're at 45 minutes. We're about done with this episode. It's been a good one. It went by really quickly. One thing we got to talk about, possibly the greatest weekend of all of sports, the Masters, baby.
The Masters. Woo!
The only time that every American watches golf on TV together for really 2 days. Everybody watches Movement Saturday and Sunday. Some diehards will watch Thursday and Friday, but everybody in America is pretty much watching on Saturday and Sunday.
I think viewership has increased already greater than 50% for Thursday and Friday just because Tiger Woods is playing in it. And I bet the PGA Tour is loving it because they knew that they were going to make so much more money this weekend.
Let's start it there. Hot or valid, Tiger doesn't make the cut.
That's valid. He hasn't played in a tournament since his accident. I know he's played some practice rounds, but going from not playing to playing in the biggest stage is a big jump. I mean, Tiger's the GOAT, but I don't see him making the cut. I would like him to, but I don't see it.
Oh, that's hot, man. Tiger Woods has never missed the cut at the Masters, and he ain't gonna do it this year.
I'm not saying I think it's valid, but also I could see somebody arguing, but I think he makes the cut. But I could very well see him not.
Great. Does he win it? I don't know.
Go ahead, Peyton. I'm looking up something.
I think it's, I don't know. I don't know how to say this really. I could honestly see a situation where Tiger withdraws. Let me say this. This is not me wishing injury or anything or bad bearing. This is more me saying because Tiger said, you know, he's not even sure if he'll be able to walk 72 holes.
Last weekend he played the Masters at Augusta to see if he could do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I just don't know if he'll be able to walk 72 holes. Let me say this. If Tiger plays one hole on Thursday, then I have more respect for him than I did coming into this tournament. Because reports came out that the man was dead a year ago, and then reports came out that he may never walk again, and then reports came out that he definitely was never playing golf again, and all of a sudden he's about to play on the biggest weekend and have it. And if he made the cut, not much less if he won, by gosh, but if he just makes the cut, the dude has immortalized himself in another way than he already has. But really, he earns just a little bit more of my respect if he goes out and plays hole number one.
I've looked up the odds on the cut line for this weekend, and it is at 147.5, which we'll go ahead and round up to 148, which is four over par.
Four over par.
And Tiger Woods this week has been practicing, of course, and people have watched his drive, like when he's off the tee. And of course, we all know when you drive, that's when you use the most torque on your body, and when you use your most muscles. And of course, most of his injuries, even before his car wreck, was with his lower body. So, of course, people were wondering, could his body be able to make it through the hardships of having to drive the ball for 18 holes for 4 days? And people were saying that he's looked the best he's looked in a long time.
I heard his drives look really good.
He's hitting it from 4 feet of the hole. And it just seems like if Tiger's going to win or play his best anywhere, it's going to be the Masters.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, one thing that helps him, too, is –
The leg that was very badly damaged in the car accident was his back leg and not his plant leg. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part of him even being able to play this weekend. If it's his plant leg, I don't think he's recovered enough to play golf yet. But, you know, regardless, the reason I say the thing about withdrawal is not because I don't think, I mean, like I said, I've heard Tigers look great in practice, you know, in practice at Augusta. But I think we all know there's a big difference in intensity of how you play and in how your body will react from hitting it around on Augusta on Monday morning and to playing in front of 20,000 spectators.
I've got something for you there too, though. Have you seen the crowds today at his practice rounds? It looks like a normal round. It's pretty amazing to see the people at the practice rounds at Tigers. Tigers is out there just hitting the ball around, and there's probably 4,000 or 5,000 people out there watching him today on a Tuesday. Just a normal Tuesday. He's out there hitting around. There's probably that many people out there watching
him. I think he's probably the most dominant athlete of all time in a sport, for sure.
Him or Serena Williams.
Anybody ever.
Or Michael Phelps.
Or Michael Phelps.
Usain Bolt.
LeBron James.
I mean, that could be a topic for another day.
Anybody wish they had money?
So, what I'm going to say is it's a hot take. I think he's going to make the cut because I don't think he's going to shoot four over par.
That segment was sponsored by our PT, Grady Gardner, and wherever he works after Knoxville in 3 years.
me and Grady, I think it was yesterday, we were just jokingly looking at tickets. And right now, if you wanted to get tickets for all four rounds, it was $6,500 a piece.
Mm-hmm. And you got, it's like a 10-year waiting list, I want to say.
Yes.
Now, that was just on StubHub. People just
said that's just people reselling their tickets this year.
But so who do y'all think are good? Or this might be what you were about to ask. Are we going to ask a winner? I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, absolutely.
I'm going to go Rory McIlroy. He's ranked number 9 in the world right now. I mean, he's won plenty of majors. He hasn't won one in a while, but I think he wins it this weekend.
Let me preface it. I'm going to pull it up quickly, try to pull up the betting favorites.
Yeah, for this weekend. Right now it's John Rahm's the betting favorite.
Oh my gosh, fade Toby, please.
John Rahm at a 1,200, Justin Thomas at second at 1,300.
John Rahm has been so good.
Roy McIlroy is the, I think, the.
That man drives a Ram. He is such a beast.
But, okay, I'm going to go ahead. We're going to talk about winners. Hideki Matsuyama, he won last year. He's had neck troubles this year. Of course, he's a really good golfer, but I don't think he'll bounce back and win it. This year, like John Rahm, he's a good one. He's not going to be my winner. My winner for this year is going to be Colin Morikawa. He's a great up-and-coming golfer. Mm-hmm. He's a tough. He can drive it. I remember, I think it was the U.S. Open last year. He had a par 4, 3-wood, 4-foot of the hole. So I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa. He's legit, and I'm seeing him winning the Masters.
The fan in me wants to say if he makes the cut for Sunday, Tiger Woods wins it. But I don't know if he's going to make the cut. I'm going to go with Bryson DeChambeau. He's a guy that you haven't heard a lot from lately.
Hold up. This man said, that's absolutely hot. Tiger's making the cut, no doubt about it. 5 minutes later, when the money is on the line, he said, I just don't know if Tiger's going to make the cut. Man, so inconsistent. I really just don't know what he's going to do.
We were talking about the cut for Thursday or Friday.
No, we were.
Sunday.
Toby, if you make it through the cut on Friday, you're in on Sunday.
Well, Tiger Woods is going to win it then.
This is the drunkest segment we've had.
This man, why do we?
See, I always
don't
forget.
No.
I always forget how the Masters are set up because most of the time you have cuts throughout the weekend.
That's how golf works.
That's how golf works every weekend.
Yeah.
Every weekend, every major tournament in the world. You play two rounds, and then they have the cut line. Yeah. And if you're above the cut line, you play through Sunday.
Yeah.
I watch golf. Don't know the rules.
You don't watch golf. No, you don't watch golf. Don't lie. On the middle of the podcast.
What's the PGA Tour called in Memphis? What's the course called?
The FedEx Cup?
No, like the course.
I don't know the course, but I know what the
TC play. TPC Southland.
This man golfs.
To be fair, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know, but that's.
I'm a pretty big golf fan. Speaking of that, I really like John Rahm. Been playing really well all year. But I'm going with my favorite golfer. Can't stand your pick, Toby, because he's my least favorite. But I'm going with Brooks Koepka.
Brooks is a man.
Brooksy.
Brooks is a man.
DeChambeau's Brooksy.
Fun fact that we had I have a little pick on my dude with some guys at Northeast still, some of the workers there. and we pick every major tournament. And there was 1 year that I won three straight major picks because I picked Brooks Koepka every time. And he won and finished second.
Closest thing to a Tiger Slam since Tiger done it.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. I'm not gonna roll with Koepka because it's a really good pick. It's a little boring. I'm gonna try to mix it up a little bit. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce his name, but I'm gonna pick Xander. Xander's a fantastic golfer. He's played really, really well as of late too. I really like him too. I don't think has he won a Masters before?
How about Shoffley? Xander Shoffley
has.
I don't think he has. I like him. I like him to take it. I like him to take home the green jacket.
One thing about
gold jacket, green jacket. Who gives a?
I think gold jacket was the Happy Gilmore jacket.
Yes, it was.
Give me Shooter McGavin to win it.
Give me Sidney Crosby.
I want to go back to Toby saying I watch golf. No, you don't.
He's got Shooter McGavin making the third cut and winning it on Sunday.
He's got PGA Tour 2K21 and only real golf. And they got on there is Bryson DeChambeau.
Look, can raise your hand, like or not? Obviously, they can't see it. But if you scroll through TikTok while the national championship is playing, you don't get an opinion on sports.
Might not roll better.
Monday night roll better.
Shout out to your tribal chief. Your tour is tricep this weekend.
They still haven't confirmed it, but from what I guess, read, he's going to be good to go for Friday night.
Oh, he is? So, okay. Yeah. Awesome.
It may have just looked worse than what it was.
It was purple.
He's just faking it.
Everything
it's real.
Everything wrestling.
It's real to me.
Yeah, no. F you, Toby. All right. Thank you guys for listening to the Sports Hour podcast. It's been a blast, an absolute blast. Nearly an hour in. We want to thank you guys for listening along at Sports Hour Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us there. We've got a draft episode coming up in just a couple weeks. Hope you guys have been doing your homework because that one is going to be
amazing. I haven't done my homework for Spanish.
For all you pod listeners, it's Altmaier season, baby. Hashtag Altmaier season.
It is Altmaier season. I can't wait. I can't wait for our post Grove Bowl episode where we get to talk with Toby and tell him about how much better Luke looked than Jackson Dart.
I can't wait to see Luke Altmaier standing on the sideline cheering for Jackson Dart.
Altmaier will throw it away in one pass, and Jackson Dart will catch it. Like, oh, Dart, you see his hands?
We'll be watching the Grove Bowl, and Luke will throw a ball 80 yards down the field. And Jonathan Mingo will let it fall right through his hands. Man, Luke just can't put it on the money, bro. Man,
it's because it throws too tight of a spiral.
It's because he's from Starkville.
It's a straight Michael Vick drop back 70 yards down the field. He drops it.
Man, it's a scrum. we need an episode where we just fade Toby.
That was it. You had the episode title earlier.
Guys, thank you so much for listening along. For Chuck, for Toby, for Grady, and for Buzz, I'm Peyton. So long. We'll see you next week. God bless. And thanks for listening as always.
Go Rebs.